very pleased to be joined right now by Chris Tabor, the special teams coordinator for the Browns. And Chris, first of all, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
And it's great to have you aboard this coaching staff. There's been a lot of change on this staff, but you are one of a couple of coaches who are still here, along with George Warhop, who's coaching the offensive line. And, you know, I think it's important, number one, to recognize the fact that that you've remained with the Browns, because you came in only a couple of seasons ago. It seemed like you were just getting something started with the special teams here, that the needle was pointing upward. And, you know, part of me thought it would be a shame for you not to be able to see that through. You're going to be able to see that through.
No, I'm excited about being here. It's obviously the Cleveland Browns, great franchise, having a great opportunity to work with Coach Judd and the staff that he's putting together. I'm excited about it. But to also continue what you're kind of building, you know, through the last couple years.
Sure.
Hopefully our arrow continues to stay up, and I think it will, and I'm excited to be able to be a part of it.
And I know this, the first thing is the job and being part of this team, as you just expressed, but there's a personal aspect to being a coach, and a human aspect, a family. It's good, I'm going to guess, that you don't have to uproot, that you know, you have a wife, you have children, you don't have to pack up and move. That's a good thing.
No, it is a good thing. I mean, it's when you get into this business, you know what you sign up for.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always say in our special teams room, you know, you either adapt or die, and we say, you know, the dinosaurs, they didn't figure it out, so they became extinct. But in the coaching profession, it does happen. But to be able to stay here in the community that we love this place,
yeah,
and my family loves it, and it's not to move my kids out of their school, and they get to remain with their friends. All those things are things that we go through on a daily basis as coaches when
sure,
you know, staffs change over and those type of things. But fortunate to be here, and we're excited that we're staying and continuing to do what we like to do.
No, I know about the real coach in your family, who is your wife coaching basketball.
You're the assistant. Yeah. I'm just the assistant.
But I love those stories of the extracurricular activity with your kids, and you can – any family person can relate to that, and it is a big deal, and it's kind of the whole well-rounded thing. You got to be happy with that and doing the job, and here's the job now. Rob Chudzinski, the head coach of this team, so job, or step one, I guess, is how do you make that transition, because you had worked with Pat Shurmur for a couple of years, and I know that worked very well. Pat was a big supporter of yours and vice versa, but you've got a new guy here. Give me some sense of how you make that transition.
I think what you do is you show up to work, and just like everybody does, and you want to work hard and do all those things, but at the same time you grasp what the head coach's vision and what the organization's vision is, and what can I do within our little small area of special teams to help contribute to winning and pushing this thing forward and building a successful program here. So we're part of the vision, and whatever coach wants us to do, that we'll get it executed and get it done.
And it's a priority for Coach Chudzinski, as it was for Coach Shurmur, and pretty much it has to be for any head coach in the NFL, that special teams matter a whole lot. It's a third of the game, and it can't be trivialized in any way.
No, no question. And I think you look back at the Super Bowl this weekend.
Yeah.
Perfect example right there, you know, Jacoby Jones taking that kickoff back for a touchdown, and just how the momentum swings, and then San Francisco started to come back, and Ted Ginn hits a big punt return for the 49ers to set up a score. So special teams can, you know, it swings the pendulum, so to speak.
Sure.
Of the momentum changes and those type of things, and hopefully we can continue to do that here and make big plays and do those things for the Cleveland Browns.
Jacoby Jones, a guy that you had to scheme against a couple of times, and somebody that is big on that list in your board in your office, I know.
No question. Great player. He is a great player, great returner, and fortunately, he did not score against us, so we're pleased with that.
But you know his capabilities.
No, he's dangerous. He really is, and he does a great job for him, and obviously what he did in the Super Bowl, that helped them, you know, you could honestly say it could have been the difference in the game.
It really, in a game that close, there's no doubt, which is, you're right, a reminder of what special teams mean. Chris Tabor joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty, for the Browns special teams coordinator. You also had to have some great pride the week before the Super Bowl, seeing two of the three Browns Pro Bowlers being guys who are part of your group. Of course, Phil Dawson kicking and Josh Cribbs there as a return man. And again, there just has to be a great source of pride with that.
Well, I was really happy for those guys and for all three of them.
Sure.
They put in a lot of hard work, and those guys, you're so happy for them because they'll be the first to say it wasn't their personal accolade. It was the team helped them get to where they're at, and they're mm-hmm. kind of reaping the benefits of it. But Josh and Phil obviously have been great standout players here, and to see them cap off this season by going to Hawaii and celebrating with their families and doing well in the Pro Bowl, that was a lot of fun to watch.
It was kidding with Phil Dawson, although I don't know how much of a joke it was with him, but when we were talking, he called the show by phone from Hawaii just before the game, and I was saying, okay, you're out there in paradise. It's a relaxed Pro Bowl situation. You really dial it down. Everybody just kind of goes through it and enjoys themselves, but you got to play a game. And he stops and gives me the weather forecast for game day. I mean, typical Phil Dawson, worrying about the wind direction.
No question. I could always count on every Wednesday meeting, starting off the meeting, and Phil walking by me and saying, "Tabes, it's going to be a southwest wind at 15 miles an hour this week." One of those deals. So yes, he's dialed in,
he's
but that's one of the reasons why he's one of the greatest.
Yeah, you got to be obsessive to be great. You're right. You're right. Now, Coach, talking about the roster, which is going to obviously change. I mean, it does year to year. That's just a given. There's a draft and there's roster turnover. But as you look at it, I mean, there are so many young players on this team that are likely to still be here because they're young players and because there's some certainly talent among those players. Philosophically, do you expect anything to be different about how you go about, getting this all together, and also with a new head coach, have you had any discussions about like the philosophy of coverage or things that you do that might be different from what we've seen?
This time of year, it's a big evaluation period of players that you have, players, other teams, college players. It's just a huge evaluation process, and that's the process that we're going through right now with regards to philosophically how we're doing things and where players fit in. I think that's as coaches, especially in the special teams world, where you're working a lot with the guys that are kind of towards the bottom of the roster, it's always a fluid situation.
Sure.
And as you're going through that process, figuring out, okay, these might be the guys I have, these might be the guys that might be coming in. What is their talent, skill set, and then really being able to adapt to their skill set and coming up with new ideas to take advantage of what they do, mm-hmm. so that, come next fall, we're successful in our third of the game.
Sure. And so that review process is a pretty detailed thing, right? You're breaking down a lot of video.
No question. I mean, you're looking at guys just to see the skill set with regards to, number one, I mean, obviously if he's a punt returner or a kick returner, it's easy watching him catch and return and those type of things. But finding cover players, finding guys that run fast, change direction, have movement skills, can play out in open space. Those are all the things that you're looking for. And sometimes, you go through so much film because you might only see it a few shots here right. and there, and then you're projecting that this kid can do it because you've seen it on tape. And then I've always believed it's your job as a coach to make sure that you pull those talents and skills out of the player.
It's interesting. I really try to watch every aspect of practice you can. But one of the real fun parts of practice is seeing you running down with the groups when you're simulating coverage or going through a coverage drill. And literally it is something that can't be coached from you standing on one end of the field, kind of shouting to the other end. Why is it so, but explain why it's so important to kind of be running with them and choreographing things as you're on the move?
Well, you start off in the meetings and you show them the things on film, what they're going to see, and those type of deals. And then when you go out to the field, which I really call, you know, that's your laboratory out there,
yeah.
and you're able to run down behind them because you want to be able to see what they're seeing, and be able to as they're visualizing, coaching it. Right on the run, so hopefully it becomes easier. They can pick up their keys and where they want to avoid blocks and those type of things, and fit in on the returns, so that it's concise. They understand what you're talking about and they hear it as it's going on. And I just think that can help them on Sunday afternoon.
Right. And Sean Menega is, of course, helping you out with this. Your assistant, he's still with you as well.
No question. He does a great job for us. And it's nice because when we do those things, I can take half the side and he takes the other half, mm-hmm. and we get dual coaching done. And then, you know, after you do that out on the field, then obviously after practice, you're watching it on tape and you say, okay, you know what, we told him that. And now we maybe have to redefine something a little bit because we saw something, you know, from the bird's eye view, so
sure.
to speak, that we can help them to get better at the coverage part, because we're always striving, you know, to improve in that area.
Reality of this business is coaching staff's turnover. You've been part of three, I guess, now that have had where a head coach has been relieved of his duties, and it changes things all the way through the staff, or largely through the staff. It also means getting to know other coaches that you maybe didn't work with previously. I just wanted to kind of run down with you because some real prominent names joining the staff, North Turner and Ray Horton among them, brought aboard. You're getting to, and then other assistants that have, you know, now that the staff itself is complete. What's that process like, and how exciting is it to be with guys like Norv and Ray?
Oh, it's exciting and really looking forward to it. Somebody did ask me that question, what is it like? And what it really is, it's the first day of school. You're
yeah.
going to a new school, and you're trying to get acclimated to see where you fit in and how you fit in with the staff and what everyone's personalities are. You know it's a good school.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of good teachers there, but you just want to get a feel for how can I fit and make this thing go? But it's been great. The staff that coach has put together, everyone has been everyone's top notch, and mm-hmm. I'm so excited to be a part of it, and feel very fortunate to be a part of it. And we're looking to do good things.
Great. Well, we're very happy to have you with us, and I always have you on the show, and look forward to talking with you again.
Vic, I appreciate you having me. Thank
you. He is Chris Tabor, the special teams coordinator for the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We have got much more coming up for you on ESPN 850 WKNR.